You're listening to the Camp Nation podcast. Find us online at campnation.ca.
Welcome to the Camp Nation podcast number 8, the one where Joe is full of jelly beans. Today's episode features our discussion on family life at camp, plus your host picks of the week. Good day and welcome to Camp Nation for the first week of April 2010. My name's Travis Allison, and I'm the social media manager here at Our Kids Media, and I was a camp director for 15 years at Glenmore Camp and Cairn in Muskoka, Ontario.
My name is Gabrielle Rail, and I'm one of the directors at Camp Waro, a camp in northern Quebec in the Laurentians, and I'm podcasting from Montreal.
My name's Joe Richards. I'm the administrative director at Pierce Williams Christian Center, which is a summer camp and retreat facility just south of London, Ontario, in a small town called Iona, Ontario.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
It's going well. It's going well.
Good. Joe, we wanted to hear how your Buckeye Leadership Workshop went.
Oh, Buckeye was awesome. I got back on late on Sunday night. Buckeye is a, it was 5 days. So I went down last Tuesday. I was almost down for a full week. It's a full 6 days when you're on the committee. I led a session called Creating a Culture of Success, which was, it's really fascinating because there were so many different people in attendance. There were lots of camp people, lots of recreation people, lots of 4-H people, but then there were people from Chrysler, people from the Ohio Department of Transportation. It was just a really, really interesting group, and Buckeye was awesome.
That's cool. How many people go to the conference?
There's around 90 delegates, and then the committee members, so around 110 altogether. And that number is down from years ago, but I find that's the case in most small conferences like that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's great. Well, welcome back.
Thanks.
We're going to start off today with our links. So links, for those of you who are just joining us for the first time, are just a bit of news from the camping and recreation industries and things we've found on the web that relate to what we do. Joe.
That's great. My link is actually a guelphnow.ca. The link is in the show notes. But essentially, it was a new way to run programs at camp to introduce new ideas to kids. Oftentimes, this article goes over the fact that oftentimes summer camps get into ruts. We always teach the same thing, or we think we're teaching something new when actually we're teaching the same thing in a different way. This offers a very different program. The concept of introducing new cultures to camp and new ideas to camp, it's just a really interesting article to read through. And a great concept for the future thoughts at camp. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's written talking specifically about camp?
Yeah, it's written specifically talking about a camp that is being run that way, where if you have kids or people from different cultures, it gives them the opportunity to share their background as well. So the title of the article is actually Summer Camp Offers Worldly Experiences Without Leaving Canada. You know, often people think that you have to go somewhere to learn about other cultures. But if you can bring in the right people, you can teach kids a lot about other cultures while at the same time giving them the experience of going through and learning about everything that is possible. So,
oh, nice.
It's a great article. It gives a timeline of what you can experience if you're at camp that day. And it goes from there. So, yeah, when you read this article, it's really amazing what you can see.
That is nice.
Yeah.
So my link is about the marshmallow test. And the marshmallow test is a test that was done a long time ago and about children who are able to delay instant gratifications and what are those effects. And basically, now there's a couple of YouTube videos, so we've posted that link in the show notes. But it's really neat to see those kids that are able to delay instant gratification. How they measure that is with a marshmallow. So basically they tell the kid, here's a marshmallow, you can eat it right now, or if you wait, and when I wait a little bit and when I come back, I'll give you a second marshmallow. And the study shows that the kids that are able to wait for the second marshmallow are a lot more successful in life, not only successful academically, but also emotionally in life than the kid that eats the marshmallow right away. And it doesn't mean that a kid that's 4 years old that eats the marshmallow right away, they're doomed and they're not going to be successful as adults. But what it tells their parents and camp directors is that we can help them to start learning to delay a little bit instant gratification. So I think it's a great video to maybe show your staff during staff training about the importance of setting up boundaries. And it's the kids' job to push those boundaries, but there are certain rules and boundaries there for these type of purposes. And this is a good video to explain that.
It's awesome. I've seen it before. It's great.
Yeah. And it's funny, too.
It's an awesome. And it, when you have little kids, it makes you think about when I first heard about it, I wanted to do it with my kids. But I haven't gone through it yet.
If you do it, make sure you video it, Joe.
Yeah.
We want to see the expression.
And I'll post it to the Camp Nation. Oh, yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you this chocolate bar. But if you don't eat it, I'll come back and give you a second chocolate bar.
This is a perfect story for your and proof for your kids when they go see their shrinks when they're older. My dad.
Oh, we can't afford shrinks.
Right, right.
Very cool. Well, my link is camptweets.com, and it'll be live by the time this recording goes out. Camp Tweets is actually a late night project of mine. I've been sort of working on it. My job at our kids is Monday to Thursday, so I have time Friday and Saturday and Sunday for other projects and different things. So Camp Tweets is something that I'm working on. I wanted to give myself a challenge, but also provide a way to make it easy for camp people who are involved in Twitter to talk with other camp people involved in Twitter. And one thing people use a lot is the hashtag #SummerCamp. So it'd be the #, and then #SummerCamp, all no spaces, all jammed together. So I have a search set so that whenever something comes up on Twitter for summer camp, it's all in one column on my TweetDeck so that I can just respond to that. And it's one of the columns that I check most often because it's often cool stuff going on, and I like to follow that. So this website will pull everything that is labeled summer camp with a hashtag, and also, I think, hopefully, #camp, so that it'll all be in one place, and there'll be a way that you can tweet right from there if you want to reply to it. So that's sort of, for those who don't have something like Hootsuite or TweetDeck set up, it'll be an easy place to go so you can find out what people are talking about for camp.
Yeah, and I checked it out already, and it's really neat, and I think this is one of the cool things about you, Travis, is that when you have free time, you're like, what shall I do next? You're like, I shall create a camp tweet site. And but for people like me, that's where everything's easy just to go and look at things. It's really neat. So brava.
Yeah, I checked it out last night, and it looked like you were still working on it because it was a basic WordPress layout. Am I correct?
Yep.
It was the blue screen, the blue
exactly.
WordPress. And I thought to myself, he just needs to find a new template. It's a great idea. And I use Hootsuite, and I tag, I have a summer camp, a summer camp one, and Camp Nation, and I put those all in the same column. And it's great to sort of follow them and see what other people are saying. So
yeah, so I'm just hoping that it's easy for people who don't have time to set up something, or a hashtag search and custom columns is a little too complicated for the time they have. We're just trying to make it all in one place. So
cool.
There you go.
And I think that's one thing. As I was listening to some tech podcasts the other day on my drive to and from Buckeye, I was thinking that so often if you're a technology person, you'll talk about something and think other people know what you're talking about, when in reality, probably 80% of the people who are listening to you have no idea.
Yes.
I'll just say, I have the past 2 minutes, what you guys were talking about, columns and stuff, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I do know how to click on camp tweets. So you're right, Joe. But this is simple. It's right there. And I was like, oh, this is great. I can just scroll down and read the stuff that's and all the links and everything. So,
yeah, there you go. So for our discussion topic today is something that the three of us, well, Dan's not here, so he didn't get a vote, but something that has impacted the three of us very directly. And Gab, I wonder if you could just introduce our discussion topic.
Sure. So we thought today we'd talk about family life at camp. So in the sense, this would apply to mostly residential camps, I'm assuming, but starting a family at camp, raising your family at camp, you and your spouse at camp, what does that look like? And even perhaps working with your children working for you, and what does that look like? And what are some of the tips that we've accumulated in our experience? You know, I grew up at camp with my two brothers. Travis and his family, you know, ran a camp, and Joe's raising his children at camp. So what tips could we put together, as well as maybe we can share a little bit of the mistakes that we had and things that we could learn from those things? They're always funny too to talk about. So.
Yeah. Thanks, Kev. I'm sorry Dan's not here, because Dan is a newlywed at camp.
Yeah.
Like, he's only been married for a year, and I don't think his wife works at camp in the summer. I know that she's a teacher. It's too bad we don't have him here, so we'll hopefully get his comments in the comment section.
I think, just for a fun, not a real poll, but if we could poll camp directors and look at their spouses, I think 80% or 70% were teachers, right? Like, 'cause Joe, your wife's a teacher.
Yeah, but and I would agree with that stat, but I just don't think it's that good
it's
of a
not,
fit.
And my boyfriend's a teacher as well.
Not me and my wife. Don't get that wrong. I work all summer, and then during my downtime, she's unable to take vacation.
Right.
Brilliant.
That's right. And so exactly, my partner, he's a teacher. And then Travis, in your case, you and Beth worked at camp together. That causes its own, you know, there's its own perks and pitfalls about that. Maybe we can start talking about, you know, you and your spouse at camp and working together.
Yeah, so I think Joe sort of ran over what you're saying, just to not lose that point, is that your partner's is a teacher too.
Yeah.
We talked last summer about what you were doing to sort of make sure that he felt like he fit in.
That's right. My camp's an all-girls camp, and he's 6'5", so he's not a tiny person. Mm-hmm. So he really stands out at camp. So and he didn't grow up at camp. He had 2 years at camp, and they weren't as a camper, and he didn't really enjoy it. So he understands, he sees the beauty of camp and what we do. But I remember the first time he came to visit, and I told him, you know, and he was coming to pick me up for my day off, and I said, you know, literally I won't be able to see you at 11 at night. And he said, well, I'll just come around 7 and maybe we can have dinner or something. I tried to explain it to him, but he didn't quite understand until he did get there, and I saw him for 3 seconds, and then I left, and I saw his face sort of drop, like, well, can't we spend 15 minutes together? And my father sort of patted him on the back, and he was like, son, this is how it works around here.
That's
you don't
right.
see the ladies, you know, they're after work.
That's
just basically it. So
that's a great story.
So now it's just about, you know, how do you create space? And, you know, my cabin used to be a revolving door. Staff were coming in and out of the cabin that I stay in. And now there's a lot more boundaries that I started to build over the past couple of years, so we can have our own space there. And so he doesn't feel like his space is now infiltrated by, you know, 200 young ladies
right.
Coming in and leaving. And as well as during the winter time, we try to find specific times that work for both of us that we can take some time off and, you know, just really make it our time. But it certainly is, you do have to find special people that will allow you to leave for a certain amount of time during the summer. Because even if you are together, your attention is really drawn towards, I think, towards the job.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Boundaries is, I mean, such a huge lesson. Beth and I met at camp, so Beth and her sons were at camp all the time, and Beth and I have been friends for a long, long time. They had their place and I had mine, and their place had some pretty good boundaries because my stepsons were quite little when they started at camp, but my house was the same. It was total revolving door. Like, people were in it all the time. And there was times that it used to bug me because I'd come home and find people in my house.
Yeah.
When we got married, we really had to say, okay, like, this is our space. You just have to accept the fact that in order for us to do this well and be there for you, we have to have our space. Like, it's got to be laid out. And once everybody sort of got used to that, it works really well.
Yeah.
So at that point, it also becomes, I think it's good for the staff because getting invited then into our house was a big deal.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a treat on its own was, hey, come on up and have a Coke with us or whatever. Just come by the house at this time. We'll be here and come on in. So it was always kind of a big treat to get to come to our house, and people who'd been campers for years would get on staff and be like, oh yeah, come on in. And they come in, they're like, whoa, I can't believe I'm in the director's house.
Right.
Well, and I live on site at camp now, and we don't have staff in our house. on a regular basis. Our spring staff come up occasionally to play games and whatnot, but there are summer staff who will spend their whole life at camp and never be in the director's house, simply because it's a house. It's not like a part-time house. We live there all the time. But it's so far removed from the main camp atmosphere that no one ever really thinks about it. Does that make sense? It's just, it's not around main camp.
Yeah, and but how does you being the director during, or running the camp during the summer, are you really busy and does that take you away from your wife or have you balanced that out nicely?
It's a great question. I've sort of lived through all aspects of family at camp. When I started at the Taylor Statton camps in 99, I was single, got engaged. Jen came to work at the Taylor Statton camps, but worked at the boys' camp, not the girls' camp where I worked. And then we were married and lived at camp for a couple of years before we had Matthew. And he came to camp as like a 10-month-old. He learned to walk at camp in front of a dining hall of, 200 girls. Jen spent both of her pregnancies bobbing around in Canoe Lake in Algonquin Park. And so it's this whole thing that our kids have always been at camp, and we as a couple have always been at camp together and essentially met each other because we were both camp people. At the time, she was working at Onondaga when I got hired on at Canadian Adventure Camp. And when I arrived here, the way that the board of directors here has it set up is that I'm not the summer director. I'm the administrative director.
Okay.
And so it's my job to run the business of camp, and then I will hire a summer director. And the summer director, the first summer had been hired before I arrived, and that was the summer I just learned everything. And then Jen actually worked as our summer director for 3 years, so 2006, 2007, 2008. And the rhythm we got into as a family is that all meals we would eat together in the dining mm-hmm. hall. We had a camp nanny who would take care of our kids in the in-between times, in between meals. And then after dinner, I would go home and put the kids to bed and stay at home.
Right.
Which is the first time it happens, it's really weird. You're like, wow, like there's my TV, like everything. And it was the first summer where I'd lived and worked in the same place. Does that, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was normal. And so we did that for 3 years where Jen was the camp director. And then when we moved, Jen determined that after becoming a vice principal that camp directing, it'd be nice to have some time off. And so she resigned as a camp director after the final summer. And we brought Kix on, who's our camp director now. And I just felt I didn't change the pattern at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I changed the pattern, it would appear that I didn't trust Kix the way I trusted
right.
Jen. Does
yes.
that make
yes.
sense? So I go home at night. And I go home just after dinner, and I stay home for the evening. And if they need me, I'm a phone call away, and rarely do they call, because once you get to a certain point, right, you have staff who are going to make the same decisions that you would make.
Yep.
If you didn't, that's a larger issue. But I also found last summer was the first summer where my kids and Jen didn't come and eat meals at camp.
Right.
They stayed at home. Partially because, as you can imagine, Jen's just trying to make sure that staff were very, very clear on who the summer director was, right? It was Kix. It's not Jen. So that was a different thing here. But let me tell you, work-life balance, that's the whole reason that I took this job, right, in camping. Because in the winter, when I was working for the Taylor Statton camps, you're talking about 9 months of the year where I was commuting an hour and a half each way, so 3 hours a day to get to an office downtown Toronto, and then packing up my life in June, moving to Algonquin Park and coming back in the middle of September.
Yeah.
And so this is just a much better fit with a family. I see my kids on the bus. In about 20 minutes, I'll get my kids off the bus. There's not much wrong with this right now.
I think what I liked, what I heard you saying at the beginning was rhythm. And I really liked that description of what you do with your kids and putting them to bed and having dinner. And I think when you're raising young children on camp, the camp can be very chaotic. There's emergencies that happen all the time, or camp directors have to have talks with staff or kids. And it seems sometimes the wave of camp, the massive water that it can push, can shake the camp directors around, and your kids can feel that as well. But if you have in place you know, some consistency and family time and your kids know when that's going to happen, that anxiety and that the chaos of camp just becomes just sort of normal. And like you said, you know, your house is the same, you know, there was your TV there, you know, everything sort of fit together. And there's something really nice about creating that rhythm with your family, with your spouse and with your children. I think that sometimes camp directors get caught up, you know, the summer happens and then they think the job, I got to do it at all costs. And it's, and sometimes the spouse is a little bit put to the side and the kids sometimes are put a little bit to the side because you have to do your job. And it sounds like you and Jen have, because you evolved together in camping and you made proactive decisions about moving and choosing the right type of camp for you. You know, like you said, it's a very nice balance.
And I think in the end, what also happened last summer is I encouraged Jen to take the kids on, you know, mini vacations, a weekend away or going to someone's cottage for a week, because I wasn't available to do it. So, but that shouldn't interrupt her ability to do that with the kids. Mm-hmm. And just the whole trust factor of having staff who can do what you expect. I would think over the past 4 years, I've been called down to camp at night maybe 3 times in 4 summers.
Yep.
Like it just doesn't, there's nothing that is truly that needy. That's not the word I'm looking for, but you know what I mean? Like
urgent.
And the balance is, the balance is really working here. And when I talk to friends who, a good friend of mine is a partner in an ad agency in Toronto, and every time he comes down with his family, he says, you know, I could trade a lot of what I have to live somewhere like this, mm-hmm. and to see kids on the bus and see kids off the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly than the summer, I find the rest of the year, working as a full-time camp person, you can be busy a lot of the year, but, you know, if you're commuting all the way to, you know, away from home, it can take you away. But this really works, you know.
Yep.
What I wonder is how many kids have a parent who works full time and consistently sees them on the bus every morning and off the bus every afternoon,
right.
And limited daycare, all of those things. So,
Gab, you can answer this best of all of us because you grew up at camp, but I think it's such an amazing experience for kids to get to grow up at camp. The kids may get to a point in their teens where they've sort of had enough of camp and living in the bush or sort of that isolation part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that those kids often still come back. Like they still sort of after a while come back and see the value of camp and want to be involved, whether it's at their own camp or not. There's two things. Joe, you said something about getting called back to camp. At night, getting called back to camp. And the funny thing is, my last 2 summers at camp, which were 2006 and 7, we actually lived off-site. We lived in town about 20 minutes away and would commute to camp during the day. And that was something we did because we had taken on this job looking after 5 camps and et cetera, et cetera. So it's just time for us to have a change. One of the very few calls that we ever got about things that happened at night at camp after we were gone is because our son Spencer, who was a counselor at the time, broke his collarbone playing a game.
Right.
So we had to go to the hospital because it was our kid who had hurt himself after we had left camp for the day. But
that's awesome.
As to growing up at camp, I think there's the list of reasons is huge as to why I think it's beneficial to kids. We've said on this podcast before, all three of us grew up in a rural situation.
Mm-hmm.
So being a rural kid is such an amazing experience. And what I think I took out of being a rural kid growing up, rural kid plus camp has made me who I am. I would be a totally different person if I didn't have those two experiences. And our kids lived with their dad during the year, but would spend 2 months of the summer with us and Christmases and March break and stuff like that. And then we'd be going down to see them on weekends. But it was always so important for me, for our two guys to have those rural experiences. So I taught them how to snowmobile and I taught them snowshoeing and we did stuff like they'd come up to visit us on March break and we'd go out in the dark and hike the trails in snowshoes. Just because it was just an awesome thing to be able to offer to somebody, this cool outdoor experience and skating on the lake and all those things. So I think, I don't know, Gab, did you find it, there were times when it was really hard to be the director's kid?
Right. Well, I mean, I think you're like bang on when it comes to the rural experience and the outdoors. And, you know, I live in Montreal right now, and I still am really excited when I can just walk to the grocery store. I skip. I'm like, it takes 2 seconds. It's amazing. But I have a deep appreciation, of course, of nature and those experiences that my parents gave me. And beyond sort of the sort of canoeing and kayaking and all that stuff that builds self-esteem, you know, the wonderful role models that we had were amazing. And, yes. My brothers as well, they're surrounded by, you know, we always joke that, you know, they grew up in an all-girls camp, lucky them. But in all reality, yes, lucky them. They grew up with very strong, independent ladies around them that they could tell, you know, they saw that strength, and they said, you know, women can do things, and that's an important part of our society, and they have high respect for female independence. And I definitely give that to my parents, but certainly to the staff members around them. They, you know, they're fantastic role models. But I think some of the things that camp directors, when they have kids at camp, part of the positive camp experience is going to camp and being your own person. And I've met some camp directors who haven't yet or won't send their kids to other camps because they feel like, well, they have a camp right here, right at our doorstep. And I went to Circle R Ranch, and I went to a couple of other camps, and what a fantastic experience it was for me. I came back to Waro because I love Waro. I think it's a fantastic organization, and I believe in it. But a place where I could just be myself and have no strings attached and really discover new activities and new friends and not have that shadow over me, even though I didn't know I had the shadow at the time, it allowed me to discover my, you know, my independence from home. And so I think if you do have kids and they are participating in your camp, try to, you know, get them involved. And you know the camp directors that you trust. You know, select three camps and get them to choose out of those three, but give them that opportunity. That would be one. And then two, if they're participating at camp and they're not staying in your cabin and all that kind of stuff, they have their own cabin with their own camp counselor, send them mail, send them care packages. Sometimes we feel like, well, I see her or I see him throughout the day. You know, they don't really need that, or maybe it's silly to send them those things. But I felt very special when my mom sent me a care package once a week, and I got it through the camp mail, and it was wonderful. And I kind of pretended like I didn't care, but I did. I really cared. And it, you know, it's hard to see your parents being the parents of 200 other or 300 other kids. It's very difficult because you sort of pull yourself back. You understand that they have a job to do, and you keep yourself a little bit at a distance. But just to do those parent-like things, and it doesn't draw attention to anybody, but it does, you know, does create those, you know, mom's there for you still, and so's dad. And then as they get older, if they do end up working for you, to make sure that you have strong staff members to be their role models and people that are going to give them their evaluations and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, at one point or another, children do push against their parents, and that's very normal and healthy. But if they're working for you, it's like a double dare. And they'll, if you have more than one child working for you, probably one of them you might have to fire at some point. It happens. It's not horrible. It's just, it's an experience. But if you have that framework already built in, that you have certain people that take care of that your child when they're a staff member, not only for firing situations, but also for leadership and, you know, encouragement and all that kind of stuff. If you have that built in, then you'll be able to start building a nice professional relationship, I think, with your child. But don't be alarmed if your child pushes against you and as a staff member. It's just normal.
Joe, are you still there, Joe?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Cool.
I was. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna. I wanted to ask what it's like for your kids to be campers, and how much are you looking forward to your kids working for you?
It's funny. If you ask Matthew what he wants to be when he grows up, he says, "I want to be the boss at camp." and it's such a great. It's one of those things where, you know, and I'm sure that a lot of parents get it, but it's one of those things that makes me feel like, yeah, if you could grow up and be the boss of camp, that would be awesome. And mm-hmm. I would be cool with that. we send our kids to camp here, and they do an excellent job of just being by themselves. They don't say hi to us when they walk by. Like, they just, it's like, well, I don't know who that is.
Yes.
And they ignore us. And it's funny to watch from a distance. And this year when our kids came to camp and Jen was no longer the camp director, I said, Jen, you're not allowed to come to camp. She goes, well, I want to come down for lunch. But no, you haven't been coming for lunch all summer. So why would you start coming for lunch now? It's like I was talking to a camper parent in my house. I was like, dude, get away. Go away.
Well, and obviously, because other kids can't have their mommies in the dining hall.
Yeah.
So that makes total sense to me.
It's right. And my kids, during meals, they would come and say hello. But that, no big deal. You know, they're walking somewhere, they come and say hello. If they're up at an inappropriate time, then one of the leadership team would, you know, the camper care coordinator would say, Matthew, you need to go back and sit down. You know, your counselor didn't say you could get up.
Right.
And so our staff really follow, they treat our kids the exact same. A couple of years ago, this is a great story. We were trying to track which campers use the most staff time of our camper counselor care coordinator. It's a leadership position we have.
Yep.
Who deals with those hard kids. And she was actually tracking it on a little cabin sheet and putting ticks beside people's names. And at the end of the week, she handed it to me and she looks at me and says, don't get mad. And I look and beside Matthew's name is like the second most amount of ticks. And I was like, oh, dude, what are you doing? So, no, it's great. I want... trade this for the world at this point. My kids growing up at camp, but I think they understand that it's not normal as well, right? So,
right, yeah.
Yeah. I changed my last name when I started going to camp. I was like, I am no longer Rail. This is my last name, and I requested to have a different last name.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I need to run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just going to wrap this up and say, let's come back to the actual partner relationships and how we keep that healthy. Let's do that. Make a note to talk about that again.
Yeah.
I think this has been a good discussion.
Great.
Joe, do you have time to give us your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is Google Apps. And I know we've talked about it before. So Gmail, Google Apps is a whole service of things. It's email, it's documents, it's a shared calendar. There's a variety of other tools that you can use, but it's great for camp. So all of my leadership team has an at Pierce Williams email address. So Google Apps is hosting your own email, so you use your name. And the great thing is they can access it from anywhere. They can see calendars you share with them. They can do all of these things. I just think that it's if you're not set up on Google Apps, and it's free for not-for-profits, and I think free for small organizations – but like I have 200 email addresses I can give out that are at Pierce Williams. Plus I can add endless nicknames to my email addresses. And we use Google Apps all the time at camp. I just didn't know if we had ever sort of discussed that, because there's lots of things about Google Apps we've discussed, like Google Documents and whatnot. But it's just an amazing product from Google.
Cool. I wholeheartedly agree. We use it all the time. Here at our kids, we started using it. And I always used it when I was at Cairn.
That is great. I need to go so I don't miss the bus. But
thanks, Joe.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Okay. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. Take care. That's excellent. I'm going to follow Joe because mine's actually a Google Apps app. And Google just released their Google Apps Marketplace. So for companies that do sign up to run their emails and calendars and everything through Google, you can now add on extra features. And some of them are free and some of them you pay for. And just started using one, and we've been actually using it to schedule the podcast with some success and some not. But so just sort of figuring it out. But I think it's really cool to use. It'd be a great tool. So it's called Schedule Once, and it's at schedule-once.com. And what it allows me to do is I have my whole calendar in Google Docs, in Google Apps.
Mm-hmm.
And so I book off when we have meetings here at work and when I'm doing interviews and that sort of thing. And then if I want to schedule a podcast, for example, or an interview with somebody next week that I'm doing, et cetera, trying to find a time that we can meet in common, I sort of select, I would like to schedule this meeting between 9 o'clock and 4 o'clock, because at 8 o'clock, there's just, I start work at 8. Snow, good for me. I just need to sort of settle in and check out email and put out the hot fires. But right. So between 9 and 4 is good for me. I select between 9 and 4 on the 4 days a week that I'm here, and it'll automatically withdraw the times that I'm busy. And then the next person can go in and say, okay, so between, I don't know what it is for you, Gab, maybe between 9 and 4 also, just highlight the whole thing, and whatever space you're available, it just sort of eliminates till everybody who's involved, we can come up with the best time for meetings. So just started using it, but I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's so simple. I mean, that's what you sent us just last week, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was so simple. And I have a little bit of a hard time with checking out dates and numbers and all. It's visually clear. You're actually dragging and physically saying this time and this time. It's really easy. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna definitely start using that, like, now.
So if you Google Apps Marketplace, you'll find it in there, and you can just find all the things you can add on. And Schedule Once really is for apps users. I don't think you're just on the Gmail system, it works.
Okay.
Some of them do. Some of those marketplace things do work on your Gmail. But I think Schedule Once is really focused on people who have taken the time to set up Google Apps.
Right.
For your domain.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. My pick of the week is Real Player, which a lot of people have on their computers, shows our videos and everything. But Real Player 11 has a feature where you can download videos offline. So every time a video comes up, let's say a YouTube video, it automatically saves it onto a little app. And then if you like to keep that app, you can just click download. It's extremely simple. And the reason why I put it up here is that a lot of the times we come across some videos that we'd like to show our staff during staff training, but most of us don't have internet in the buildings that we're, you know, doing these sessions. So this is a very useful application. And so this link that we've posted in the show notes has a very detailed way on how to download Real Player and how to use that feature. But it's pretty simple, and if you have some neat instruction videos that you'd like to show your staff, it's very easy to use.
So you're going to use it to show the marshmallow video?
I so am.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you.
No problem.
Well, then we'll start to say goodbye. Gab, why don't you tell us where we can find you on the online world?
Perfect. So you can check out our camp's website at waro.com. And so that's the all-girls summer camp in the Laurentians. And I also have my own website called Gabrielle Rail. That's two L's at the end, .com. And there's some camp information on there. As well as I have been posting on Twitter.
I've put on two
this past couple of days. So you can check me out on Twitter / Gabrielle Rail.
Gabrielle Rail, great.
Yep.
So Joe is at piercewilliams.org. And Yo-Yo Joe R is him on Twitter. And to give Dan his due, Dan works at Frost Valley Y, which is at frostvalley.org, and at Dan Loves Camp on Twitter. So that's how you get a hold of the four of us if you have any questions. I have a few things that I want to just plug. I'm going to leave up for one more week a survey of listeners. I've sent this out on Twitter a couple of times and posted it to the blog. If you go to campnation.ca, you'll see, scroll down, you'll see a survey. They were just trying to figure out who's listening and what you do and what your involvement is. And we're looking for a bit of advice on how you want the show to go. So if you could take out the time to fill that out, that'd be amazing. A couple things from our kids that I just want to bring to people's attention. And one that I'm really excited about, I've been working on it since the Christmas break, really. It just launched today. On our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/ourkidsgotocamp, today we launched our Camp Nation video contest. And we have some really cool prizes. We have some Toshiba laptops and Toshiba DVD players and some other prizes that we're going to announce throughout the contest. We are going to, for the next 6 or 8 weeks, get camp staff, and it's just for camp staff, to put up their videos on that page, and then we'll be voting for the next 6 weeks. And then when we get to the top 20, 6 weeks from now, we have Tom Barlow, who's a Juno-nominated singer-songwriter, and Peter Katz, who we've mentioned on this podcast many times. There are sort of celebrity judges. So Tom and Peter are two Canadian singer-songwriters who are going to judge the best performance. And we're really just looking for people who record cover songs or their own songs just on their laptop and put it up in a video form. So we're super excited to launch that today.
It's very exciting, and, you know, it's a way of getting camp people connected, not only in your camp, but, you know, it's really nice for staff to see that there's a whole other world out there of camp people.
Yes.
And, you know, I know that our staff are in exams right now, but shortly they'll be out of it, and I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure they're very excited about camp. It's a perfect time to, I think, to run this contest.
Well, and I think the reason I bring it up here is so that people will tell their staff, like,
yep.
It's important for camp directors to be able to put forth in the world their staff, who we all know are, you know, the most responsible, creative, energetic, amazing people in high school and university aged people. And we think it's great for we hope it'll be good for camp directors to show off the great leadership that they have at their camps and the talent that's there.
Absolutely. It's a great initiative. I'm excited to see all the different talents that come from this.
Me too. And I got an email when we were recording that we got our first submission. So by time this goes out in a week's time, I'm hoping we'll have dozens.
Oh, awesome.
I want to take 2 seconds and thank two people. Adam Isidore from PathToRhythm.com helped us out at the Tri-State Conference and recorded some interviews. And those are going to go up starting next week for our time, the week that you'll hear this recording. And so we're really excited to hear those. He's on Twitter at Path to Rhythm. And you might have to look up how to spell rhythm because I can never do it right. So we're so grateful for Adam for that. And he's excited to start blogging. So he's going to be involved in the Camp Nation blog as well. So we're happy
cool.
to welcome him aboard. Dan did a great, great interview that's up in the iTunes feed and on the podcast about talking to parents with kids with autism and preparing them to go to camp in an integrated camping program, not a special camp. So it's a brilliant interview. I encourage you to take a look at that too.
Awesome.
Yep. My last thank you is to Donovan Romanek, who edits this. He's, as we say, our long-suffering audio editor. And so we're grateful for Don for all he does. And you can check out his work at whereitsatproductions.ca. And I think that's it. I think we're done.
I think we did it.
Yeah. Thanks for sticking around, Gab.
Yeah, and thank you, Travis.
You're welcome. And to our listeners, thank you so much for downloading the Camp Nation podcast. You can find the show notes that we keep referring to on campnation.ca.
This Camp Nation podcast was brought to you by Our Kids Go to Camp magazine and the camps.ca online summer camp directory. Thanks for listening.